morning after battling cancer for more than 2 years. Farrah Fawcett was 62. I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News Radio.
Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling is a live call-in radio program providing doctrinal dialogue, cultural commentary, and insightful interviews with some of today's foremost Christian authors and leaders. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Traveler's Rest. The goal of the church and the radio program is to seek the glory of God in the salvation of sinners and the sanctification of the saints by the ministry of the Word. For more information, go to www.knowingthetruth.org. Here with today's edition of Knowing the Truth is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome into this edition of the Knowing the Truth radio program. A little bit of a special edition of the program today. I was originally scheduled to speak with Joe Carter today from Evangelical Outpost about his book, How to Argue Like Jesus. However, due to some of the recent news events regarding South Carolina Governor Mark Sanford, I've rescheduled that program with Joe Carter, and I'm looking forward to when we get a chance to talk with him again about that book. I think it's a very important book, and I certainly want to talk to him about it. But I think the events of the last couple of days demand that we take a look at what has taken place with the governor of South Carolina. This is a man, of course, who names the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says that he is a man of faith. If you heard the news conference yesterday, then you know that he quoted from the scriptures throughout that news conference. By the way, I should say that the events from all the way from last Thursday, including the portion of that news conference yesterday, were by anybody's analysis a bit bizarre in all of their unfolding of what was taking place. I think the opening 10 minutes of the news conference yesterday was certainly a bit bizarre. His reminiscing about hiking and all of these types of things before dropping the bombshell about infidelity, I think was just a little bit odd. And I think anybody, you know, looking at that and listening to what was taking place would come to that same conclusion. I think on today's program, here's what I'd like to do is I'd like for us to discuss the subject of adultery in light of Governor Sanford's admission on infidelity. I don't know all of the ins and outs and all of the aspects of this story. They're still unfolding today. Just in a conversation before going on the air, and someone had said that they believed that the governor has made the decision to stay in office. And certainly from a political standpoint, I think that's coming across on Fox News, that he's going to stay in office as well. But certainly from a political standpoint, that's one thing. But from a standpoint of repentance, a standpoint of his family, a standpoint of, you know, doing the best for the kingdom of God, about bringing the least amount of reproach to the name of Christ, I think is another consideration altogether. So on today's program, we're going to discuss the subject of adultery in light of Governor Sanford's admission on infidelity. Here's a portion of an AP news item detailing yesterday's news conference. By the way, these stories, though, this AP news item changes almost on an hourly basis. They update things here. But here's just a portion of the original AP story that was out here this morning when I wrote this blog. It says this: Wednesday, the governor held a rambling, tearful news conference in which he finally revealed the truth. Quote, "I've been unfaithful to my wife," unquote. His family did not attend. The 49-year-old ruminated on God's law, moral absolutes, and following one's heart. He said he spent the last 5 days, quote, "crying in Argentina," unquote. Sanford described the woman who lives in Argentina as a, quote, dear friend, unquote, whom he has known for about 8 years and been romantically involved with for about a year. He said that he has seen her 3 times since the affair began, and his wife found out about it 5 months ago. Sanford denied instructing his staff to cover up the affair, but acknowledged that he told them he thought he would be hiking on the Appalachian Trail and never corrected that impression after leaving for South America. Quote, I let them down by creating a fiction with regard to where I was going, unquote, Sanford said. I said that was the original possibility. Again, this is my fault in shrouding this larger trip, unquote. The state newspaper in Columbia published steamy emails between Sanford and the woman. Sanford did not identify her, nor did he answer directly whether the relationship with the Argentinian woman was over. Quote, what I did was wrong, period, unquote, he said. Now the people of South Carolina and the national GOP leaders are picking up the pieces. So on today's program, I want to look from a scriptural point of view. I want to look at this idea of adultery. We see this certainly happening very often in our society today. It's not only a very public sin that has taken place. Let me remind you that this past week on Monday, we heard from the folks involved, John and Kate Plus Eight. Maybe you're familiar with that. That's a reality program, a very popular reality program where they follow around John and Kate and their eight children. And, of course, we heard publicly there on Monday a big announcement that they had decided to separate. They also mentioned, somebody said that they've already actually filed for divorce. You know, some of the news groups have gotten a hold of some of the divorce papers that have already been filed, these types of things. And so we're watching this unfold. This is a couple that named the name of Christ. They speak at churches around the area. So I think that it opens up this idea for us to talk about these particular issues. Well, certainly, let's start off this way. Sin is certainly not limited to political figures. You know, it affects public figures in general. You know, I just mentioned about John and Kate on Monday and their announcement, but it also affects private people as well. While your situation may not be playing out over the national stage, nevertheless, at all levels of society, people are dealing with sin. And here's the, maybe this isn't such a big revelation for anybody, but believers are not immune to sin. I've been teaching through the Westminster Confession of Faith on Sunday morning in our Sunday school class, and by the way, also teaching through the book of James, expository messages in the book of James. In this particular week, in the providence of God, the passage that we find ourselves at is in James chapter 4 in the opening few verses, where James says, "Ye adulterers and adulteresses," as he's speaking to the people about breaking their commitment that they have made to the Lord Jesus Christ, focusing in on spiritual adultery. But in our Sunday school class, I've been teaching through the Confession of Faith, and last week, again, in the providence of God, in chapter 6, in the final paragraph, we read this, of the fall of man is the section that I was reading about and the punishment thereof. It says this, this corruption of nature during this life does remain in those that are regenerated, and although it be through Christ pardoned and mortified, yet both itself and all the motions thereof are truly and properly sin. And so not only does this take place on a public level, but private people as well, and specifically to what we're talking about here today, sin is found in Christians as well. We still have this sin that needs to be mortified. We see pictures of this in the Old Testament, where the people of God are brought into the land of Canaan, but not all of the enemies are destroyed. There are still enemies in the land, showing that there is still this remnant of sin, the old man, the flesh is still there that needs to be dealt with. We see it in of course, in the life of David. We see it when we get to the New Testament in the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 7, crying out because of the remaining sin that is still there in his life. So this is certainly something that we see throughout the Scriptures, and it's something that we bear witness of in our own experiences as well. Now, commenting on Governor Sanford politically, first and foremost, let me just get the political element of this out of the way. I think it's the least part of the story that Christians need to be concerned about. While I'm certainly a supporter of the governor and his policies, I was very pleased with what he was doing with the stimulus package. He's to be commended for standing up against this out of control and reckless spending that has taken place in Washington. And he certainly played an important role in that. So while I'm a supporter of him, I think that the governor's policies recently, and not his policies, but his behavior recently, has been reckless this past week and certainly cannot be condoned. Just yesterday morning, I was driving in the car. I was listening to talk radio. I was listening to a fella make all kinds of excuses about the governor being out of contact with his staff. Nobody could get a hold of him since Thursday. You know, this type of behavior is just—it's bizarre. It's certainly something that we as Christians cannot condone and make excuses for. You could see already where that was going. It started to get worse and worse as the stories began to unfold. He's supposed to be on the Appalachian Trail. We find out he's not there. He's now been taking a trip to Buenos Aires. You know, so obviously we can't condone this type of sleight of hand of lying. Let's call it what it is. I think that he has foolishly and selfishly disappointed many people who spent a tremendous amount of time and their resources in supporting him. His actions certainly call into question his ability to lead. He is certainly out of contention for higher public office. And I think when we see all of this, we should say to ourselves, as we see so often in the Scripture, that sin has consequences, and the consequences of his actions politically is that he has forfeited all that he and others have worked so hard to achieve, and he's handed his political opponents a great victory. And for that, obviously, we're very disappointed. I was talking to some folks last night about what had taken place, and some of them just said the word that came up so often was, I'm so disappointed in what has happened. I'm so disheartened by what I see. And so certainly from a political front, that's what we see there. When we come back from the break, we're going to do something positive here just for a few moments. I want to go to Liquid Highway and talk with them for just a minute about something that's going on. And then when we come back from that, we'll talk about the sin of adultery. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. For more information about today's program, the radio ministry, and the resources we offer, go to www.knowingthetruth.org.
Liquid Highway will be hosting a 48-hour fast and food drive Thursday, June 25th through Saturday, June 27th at their East North Street location in Greenville. 8 men will be living and fasting on the roof of Liquid Highway, and they're asking you to bring a non-perishable food donation. It's called Hunger Hurts, and it benefits 4 local food banks. For more information, visit their helphungerhurts.org website.
Here's Dr. Everett of Strides Nonprofit Tutoring with another academic tip.
Young people need a lot of free reading to build skills, but some parents worry that their child chooses books that are too easy. Actually, in the early grades, kids need a lot of reinforcement in those easy words. So don't worry, just be glad they're reading. Our website is www.stridestutor.org or call 246-9898.
It's great pizza for a great price. So pack up the family and head over to Stevie B's near Walmart on Woodruff Road in Greenville. At Stevie B's, you'll find friendly faces and at least a dozen pizzas out at all times. Or you can order a pizza and they'll make it fresh just for you at no extra cost. So visit Stevie B's today.
Hi, this is Pastor Kevin Bowling, and I want to take the time to thank John, Ruth, Carlos, and the good folks over there at Stevie B's Pizza for their support of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast.
Liquid Highway will be hosting a 48-hour fast and food drive Thursday, June 25th through Saturday, June 27th at their East North Street location in Greenville. Eight men will be living and fasting on the roof of Liquid Highway, and they're asking you to bring a non-perishable food donation. It's called Hunger Hurts, and it benefits four local food banks. For more information, visit their HelpHungerHurts.org website.
Welcome back to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Information regarding the resources referenced on today's program can be found at www.knowingthetruth.org. Now, here to continue with today's program is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome back into the second segment of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast. We're talking about the Governor Sanford and his sin, but I want to step away from that subject just for a minute, because something exciting and something very positive is taking place in our community right now that I want to make sure that you're aware of for a number of reasons. As you know, I just mentioned a little bit about the stimulus package and about talking about our respect for the governor and some of the positions that he took about the stimulus package. But let's face it, here in our society today and in our community, let's bring it right to where we live. There's a lot of people that are out of work. The economy is not going well. There are problems in the economy, to say the least. And that means that a lot more people are out of work, and that means that a lot more people are in need of some help. Enter Liquid Highway. Liquid Highway, of course, has been a really good supporter and promoter of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast. All of their proceeds over there at Liquid Highway go to charity. So when you go over there, like I did this morning, and buy one of these, I got a liquid mocha sitting right here on my desk, but buy one of these liquid mochas, the profits eventually are going to end up at some charity, a charity in our area. And right now, they're even going beyond that. They're doing a program called Hunger Hurts. And in this program, I want you to be aware of what's taking place. There's a number of days all the way from today until, I think, next Tuesday, even up until the 30th. They are doing events that are helping five different charities in our area, specifically food pantries, help them to gather food. Their supplies, their resources are extremely low at this time, and so Liquid Highway is doing something about it. Here's the good news. If you go by there today, if you're driving in your car right now and you say, you know, I'd like to help out or something, you go by there and you buy something from Liquid Highway today, they're going to give you a free Gilletto. Have you ever had that stuff? I mean, it's good. I don't know what category to put it in. It's kind of yogurt, kind of ice cream, kind of both of those mixed together, but it's good, and today it's free over at Liquid Highway for your donation. Let's go there real quick. We've got Keely on the line. Keely Waller is the PR person over there, much more than that, but let me just leave it at that for now, Keely. Thank you for joining me on the program today.
No, Kevin, thank you so much. I hope you can hear me. It's a little louder in our store sometimes. We got a lot of people coming through for those liquid mochas like you did earlier.
Well, good. We always like to hear the espresso machine going in the background. It just adds something to the live broadcast.
It adds a little character, doesn't it?
It does, exactly. I can almost smell the coffee from here. Keely, tell us what's taking place. You guys are doing this Hunger Hurts event. What type of things? And when I went by, I saw you setting up over there a tent on top of the roof. I saw the squirt guns and items like that there as well.
Oh, yeah, Kevin, it has been. We've been setting up all day long. We already have our truck in place where we're going to be putting all the non-perishable items. We have our stage in place for all of our bands that are going to be performing. We have live music every night starting tonight, tomorrow, and then Saturday night. We have water guns and water balloons for kids when they come out with their families and bring a canned good item. We give them water guns and water balloons to throw and hopefully cool off the people that are going to be living and fasting on top of the roof. For 48 hours, we have two sets of people that are going to be up there. And, you know, that's really to raise awareness. And we have them, they're going to be on Twitter and Facebook talking about their experience because, you know, not only do we want to raise, obviously, the food to give to these hunger relief organizations here in Greenville, we want to be able to understand and to be able to tell the story of why people need to give. And especially right now during the summer, you know, this is one of the hardest months for a lot of organizations that do give out food and assistance because people are on vacation. You know, they're at the beach, they're at the pool, and they just don't think, you know, hey, we need to stop by our local food bank or food pantry and donate some stuff. And so we want to make it easy for people, but we want to make it fun as well. Mm-hmm. And we also, you know, we want to raise the awareness so people do think about it this time of year and not just at the holidays and things like that. So we have a lot of stuff going on. We're still, you know, out here sweating, getting set up. Our fasters, if you will, the guys who are going to be up on the roof, they're kind of taking it easy right now. We're not letting them do too much. They are going to actually make their way onto the roof at 7 o'clock tonight. So we'll kick everything off at that point and, you know, just have a great time, Kevin.
Excellent. Well said. And let me just tell people that there's a full schedule. Again, as Keely was just saying, the events kick off tonight at 7, but it actually will run. There'll be different people going up and down off the roof. They'll be up there for, I guess, about 48 hours. Is that what they're up there for?
Yeah, we have two sets of people. Each set is going to have four in the group, and we have 24 hours for each group. So the first group goes up tonight at 7, fasting and living up there until 7 o'clock tomorrow night, and we'll send our second group up at 7 o'clock on Friday night, and they will come down at 7 o'clock on Saturday night. So a lot of stuff going on, you know, pretty much the whole time.
Now, most of the events are held right there at the East North Street location, but you guys have locations around the region here. So I imagine folks can drop by anyone that is convenient for them, drop off a donation, and get that free Gelato as well.
They certainly can. The drive-through locations do not have the Gelato. We brought it in specially at the East North Street location, so they would have to visit a Liquid Highway Cafe in order to do that. But other than that, you know, if they're in the East North Street area, we'd love for them to come by. Like I say, we're here right now, and we will be here until Saturday night. And, you know, that's the major portion of the event. It is a month-long food drive, but the 48-hour finale is really where we kind of close things down. But, you know, this year we've actually added an additional part to the mix, if you will. Next Tuesday, we are going to be doing a mobile food drop where we are actually going to take some of the food that's been collected. We're going to package it into boxes, and we are going to be distributing to the first 100 families that's in need. They can come by the Liquid Highway on Mills Avenue, and they will get a free box of food. And so we've talked with all of the local shelters. We've talked with, obviously, the four beneficiaries that we have this year, A Place of Hope, the Samaritan House, Bailey Manor, and also Harvest Hope Food Bank. They have talked to their clients as well, and so we're going to be offering free food for those people that, you know, sometimes can't get to one of those organizations. We're hopefully going to make it a little easier on them and really close things down on Tuesday with that food drop. And so, you know, that was the biggest concern for us when we wanted to do this is we obviously wanted to help here locally in Greenville County, but we also wanted to know and to see firsthand the people receiving the food. You know, it's something we're very passionate about. It's not just the philanthropic side of things. You know, we want to see it, we want to touch it, we want to feel it, and we want to know that what we've done is getting to the people that need it. And so this will be a special day for us on Tuesday coming up. Like I say, we didn't do it last year. It went directly to the beneficiaries, and then they distributed. So we wanted to take it a step further and to be able to see firsthand, you know, and to tell them, you know, if they are in need, here's some other places Mexico and things like that. So.
Well, that's excellent. You guys are doing a wonderful job over there, and thank you very much for what you guys are doing. It is our pleasure to partner together with you in order to get the word out about this. We're so happy you guys have been a supporter of the program, and just a pleasure. I can't express that enough about just being part of what you guys are doing to help folks out. So.
Well, thank you so much, Kevin. We feel the same way about you. We love hearing your voice on the air all the time.
Well, thank you very much. Keely, thanks for taking time out of your busy day today to be with us on the program. Unfortunately, now you're probably going to have to go back out in that heat.
I'm going to have to get back out there, but but I think I can do it. It's well worth it. I'll say that.
Amen. All right. Thanks a lot, Keely. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
That was Keely Waller from Liquid Highway. You want some free Gilletto? You want to help out folks here in the area? Here's your opportunity. Go by Liquid Highway. The East North Street location will have the live concerts, the other events, the dunking booth, the kids' water gun fight and balloon throw, and all of those things. But you can go to any of their location. There's a couple on Main Street in downtown. I think there's one out there on Augusta Road. Number of locations. You can go by and drop off your donation. We'll be back in a minute.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. For more information about today's program, the radio ministry, and the resources we offer, go to www.knowingthetruth.org.
Liquid Highway will be hosting a 48-hour fast and food drive Thursday, June 25th through Saturday, June 27th at their East North Street location in Greenville. Eight men will be living and fasting on the roof of Liquid Highway, and they're asking you to bring a non-perishable food donation. It's called Hunger Hurts, and it benefits four local food banks. For more information, visit their HelpHungerHurts.org website.
More and more, people are deciding to secure their family safety by applying for a South Carolina concealed weapons permit. Dry Fire's class includes the NRA basic pistol course and state training requirements for a concealed carry permit. The class includes instruction from NRA certified instructors, info on South Carolina gun laws, the written exam, and qualifying with a firearm on the outdoor range. Register for South Carolina's concealed weapons permit class by calling 608-1522 or log on to dry-fire.com. Here's Dr. Everett of Strides Nonprofit Tutoring with another academic tip.
Sometimes a student has a reading assignment that's just too hard. Here's a way to help a child get through tough material. Trade words. You read one, he reads one. It not only helps the child make it through the text, but the student reads every one of the words along the way. It's a great bonding time, too, as you support your child. Our website is stridestutor.org or call 246-9898.
It's great pizza for a great price. So pack up the family and head over to Speedy B's near Walmart on Woodruff Road in Greenville. At Speedy B's, you'll find friendly faces and at least a dozen pizzas out at all times. Or you can order a pizza and they'll make it fresh just for you at no extra cost. So visit Speedy B's today.
Hi, this is Pastor Kevin Bowling, and I want to take the time to thank John, Ruth, Carlos, and the good folks over there at Speedy B's Pizza for their support of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast.
Liquid Highway will be hosting a 48-hour fast and food drive Thursday, June 25th through Saturday, June 27th at their East North Street location in Greenville. Eight men will be living and fasting on the roof of Liquid Highway, and they're asking you to bring a non-perishable food donation. It's called Hunger Hurts, and it benefits four local food banks. For more information, visit their HelpHungerHurts.org website.
Welcome back to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Information regarding the resources referenced on today's program can be found at www.knowingthetruth.org. Now, here to continue with today's program is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Okay, welcome back into the second half of the Knowing the Truth radio program. Let me, we're going to go back to our original subject of talking about Governor Sanford's sin, the sin of adultery that has taken place. It's, of course, made national news. Let me tell you a couple things. One, you can participate in the conversation. I think it's important for evangelicals to let their voice be heard on this particular issue, to look at it from a biblical standpoint, not just a political standpoint, but let's assess this using the scriptures. And let me give you a number here if you'd like to participate. 1-888-660-WLFJ. That's 1-888-660-9535. I also have Twitter up and running, so if you'd like to send a tweet, you're certainly welcome to do that. It's twitter.com/knowingthetruth, and you can give your feedback that way, question or comment. Also, I wanted to let you know, get email up and running, and so you can send me an email at kevin@knowingthetruth.org. Any of those ways of participating in the program, you're certainly welcome to do that. And let me tell you, I have books today to give away. The good folks at Crossway Books and Bibles, they have made available John Piper's latest book called This Momentary Marriage. This is certainly a great book. Obviously, we have selected this particular book because the subject that we're talking about today. Now, John Piper writes in this book about what marriage is, and staying married is not about, one of the chapters I have open here right in front of me is called Staying Married is Not About Staying in Love. And so he has a lot of good things to say in this particular book, of course, about the subject of marriage. This is one of his latest books, and so you won't want to miss out on your opportunity to receive a copy of this. Here's a couple of the chapter headings. He's got one here, God's Showcase for Covenant-Keeping Grace, speaking about marriage, forgiving and forbearing, pursuing conformity to Christ in the covenant, talking about a beautiful faith and fearless submission, singleness, marriage, and the Christian virtue of hospitality, faith and sex in marriage. You know, John Piper, he doesn't hold anything back. And so you can see that in a number of his titles here. It's certainly a very, very good book. It's put out again by Crossway. You can check it out for yourself and read some of the chapters out on Crossway. That's www.crossway.org. You can go out to their website in order to see this. I got about five copies of the book here today to give away. So if you want one, you can participate in the program with your question or your comment. Let me go back to the subject at hand. We were talking about the idea of adultery. The seventh commandment says this, thou shalt not commit adultery. And of course, you know, the source of this commandment, the seventh commandment, is the idea, it is based, that marriage is based upon the sanctity of the marriage. Adultery is the sin of marital infidelity. As the governor had said, he has been unfaithful to his wife. And the physical union of a married person with someone other than their spouse is adultery. It's a fundamental breach of the marriage relationship. Marriage, of course, is a divine institution. It's not just a social development. It's not a social convenience. It is something that was not invented by man, but rather designed and ordained by Almighty God Himself. And since God instituted, He alone is the one that can define the terms for it, not our society. It doesn't matter what our society decides is right or wrong. We ultimately are responsible to the all-knowing, all-powerful, all-wise, Almighty God. And so marriage is a solemn covenant witnessed by God Himself. I just performed a marriage a couple of weeks ago, and I open up that marriage by saying, dearly beloved, we are gathered here today in the sight of these witnesses and Almighty God, calling the people here to realize that this is not just a civil contract. Civil contracts, of course, can be easily dissolved. Civil contracts are governed by those that create them and enter into them. But marriage is more than a civil contract. It is a solemn covenant witnessed by Almighty God. Malachi chapter 2 and verse 14 says this, the Lord has been the witness between thee and the wife of thy youth. And so here is marriage pictured for us in the scripture. It is the union of one woman and one man. We see this very plainly in the opening chapters of the book of Genesis. And so it speaks against polygamy, of course. It speaks against homosexuality and civil unions. It speaks against any of these things. Two people of the same sex living together can never constitute a legitimate marriage. It speaks against that in the opening chapters of Genesis. It is a marriage between a union between one woman and one man. Marriage is also, though, a lifelong union. It's a lifelong commitment. It says right there in Genesis chapter 2, and Christ quoted this himself in the Gospels, Christ said that a man would leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife. The actual word there in the Hebrew for cleaving to his wife, and in the Greek that the Lord Jesus Christ referred to, is the idea of clinging to her, of not allowing something to come between them, to not allow something to break that up. The meaning is that he should remain faithful to her and that he should resist any force that weakens his commitment to her. That's the idea. The husband is called to the highest possible standard of commitment in this relationship. The Apostle Paul, writing about this, said this in Ephesians 5:25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for. Think about it. Could there be any higher illustration for marital fidelity? Here he is called to love his wife in the way that Christ has loved his church. So here's the illustration that is given to men as they are in this relationship, that just as Christ has committed himself and loved his church and given his life for his church, so the man should have the same type of fidelity for his wife. Of course, the wife are called upon, too, to reverence her husband and love her husband. There's no doubt in that. But specifically in what Christ was referring to in the particular news item that we're talking about today, I'm focusing mostly upon the men. The commandment, therefore, is a commandment for husbands and their wives to maintain marital purity. I think when we look at this subject, it's much broader than you might think. And when you think about marital purity, I think that the command includes all types of sexual immorality. It's a statement against any type of sexual immorality. And I think the Apostle Paul brings that out because he ties both of these two subjects together. In 1 Corinthians 7, in verse 2, he says, to avoid fornication, which is sexual impurity, and he says, let every man have his own wife and let every woman have her own husband. So he ties together the idea of sexual immorality closely to the marital relationship. So the seventh commandment demands sexual purity in both married and unmarried relationships. And the seventh commandment, I think, calls for a purity in our thoughts. Because when you think about it, when the Lord Jesus Christ commented on this verse, you could see that he expanded it, or rather he expounded it, as to what its real intention was in Exodus chapter 20, when it was first given. In Matthew chapter 5, in verse 27 to 28, he says this, ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her has committed adultery with her already in his heart, unquote. And so, therefore, it's of the utmost importance that we guard our minds. You know, Peter, writing about this idea of guarding our minds, said this, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought about at the revelation of Jesus Christ, as obedient children, not fashioning yourself according to your former lusts and your ignorance, but as he which is called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, or lifestyle it is actually, because it is written, be ye holy as I am holy. You know, the world may be constantly bombarding our minds The world infects our mind through our eyes and through our ears. But we shouldn't give in to this, is what Peter is saying. We need to gird up the loins of our mind, strengthen ourselves. The psalmist put it this way, I will set no wicked thing before my eyes, Psalm 101, verse 3. This would be a great verse for you to print out and put on the top of our television sets or maybe on the top of our laptop or our PC at home. I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. Job said it this way, I made a covenant with mine eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid? Job chapter 31 and verse 1. Did you know that the word fornication in the King James Version of the Bible, the Greek word there behind that word fornication is this? It's the word porneia, from which we get the English word pornography. You know, here this verse, I think, the seventh commandment in its expounded version of the Lord Jesus Christ, is saying that watching DVDs that include scenes of sexual immorality is sinful. Visiting websites displaying impure images is wicked. You know, this type of behavior, this is something that is condemned in this commandment. We must be careful as to how we interpret and apply these commands to our life. I think that there is certainly another aspect of this that we need to consider. We must be careful how we impact the minds of others. You know, God's law, his law written for us there on our hearts, but also written again in Exodus chapter 20 and in Deuteronomy as well. But the law of God prohibits us from saying or doing anything that leads others to indulge in impure thoughts. In fact, the Lord Jesus Christ adds on the end of his statement, therefore, whatsoever God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. So he gives that warning at the end. So what does that mean? Well, certainly it includes the idea of modesty in the way that we dress. Dressing in a sensual or a provocative manner breaks the clear commandment of God. Not only should we be careful about our appearances, but we should be equally careful about our speech. These type of off-color jokes and these types of suggestive language, I think, is something that this particular command rebukes as well. Let our speech always be seasoned with salt, the scripture says. We'll talk about it more in a minute.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. For more information about today's program, the radio ministry, and the resources we offer, go to www.knowingthetruth.org.
Liquid Highway will be hosting a 48-hour fast and food drive Thursday, June 25th through Saturday, June 27th at their East North Street location in Greenville. Eight men will be living and fasting on the roof of Liquid Highway, and they're asking you to bring a non-perishable food donation. It's called Hunger Hurts, and it benefits four local food banks. For more information, visit their HelpHungerHurts.org website.
With tail-thrashing dinosaurs, five state-of-the-art theaters, plus an incredible 160 exhibits, the Creation Museum presents a journey through history that will capture your imagination and appeal to your senses. Walk through the lush Garden of Eden and see exotic animals. Voyage with Noah on the Ark, or buckle into your planetarium seat and prepare for liftoff. Seats rumble and a cool mist rises in our special effects theater, and animatronic people converse with our guests. Come face to face with a monstrous moving sauropod and have your children settle up on our triceratops. Browse through our Dragon Hall bookstore to find the latest in DVDs, reference books, and curricula. And our beautiful outdoor gardens lend a finishing touch to your museum experience. Located minutes from the Cincinnati airport, the Creation Museum provides 60,000 square feet of family fun. Prepare to believe.
There's good subs, and then there's great subs. Hi, I'm Isaac Feinman, here to tell you about Firehouse Subs and Taylors on Wade Hampton Boulevard. How about that hook and ladder sub, huh? Smoked turkey breast, Virginia honey ham, smothered with Monterey Jack cheese, and fully in palm. You make it a combo, just add chips and a drink, and how about a freshly baked cookie or a warm brownie? You'll enjoy it. It's a great sub at Firehouse Subs and Taylors.
Dale Tackett, creator of the Truth Project, is coming to the Upstate on August 27th for a one-night event. Hi, this is Tony Beam for the Palmetto Family Council, reminding you that seating is limited and you don't want to miss this challenge to live biblically in today's culture. The August 27th event will encourage you and equip you to engage your culture. Remember, Dale Tackett of the Truth Project will be live in the Upstate on August 27th. For ticket information, go to www.truthproject-sc.com.
Liquid Highway will be hosting a 48-hour fast and food drive Thursday, June 25th through Saturday, June 27th at their East North Street location in Greenville. Eight men will be living and fasting on the roof of Liquid Highway, and they're asking you to bring a non-perishable food donation. It's called Hunger Hurts, and it benefits four local food banks. For more information, visit their HelpHungerHurts.org website.
Welcome back to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Information regarding the resources referenced on today's program can be found at www.knowingthetruth.org. Now, here to continue with today's program is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, let's go into the last segment now of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast. We've been talking about the subject of adultery. I think it's important when something takes place with one of our own, one of the people that named the name of Christ, I think it's important that we're not seen to be glossing over the issue, you know, the offense that has taken place. We need to face it squarely, and I think it's extremely important that we do that. And so that's what I've been trying to do here for the last few minutes, to talk about very plainly the idea of adultery and what the Scripture says about it. There's no way about it around this. You know, we've got to talk about this issue and the importance of permanence in a marriage relationship. The seventh commandment, you know, thou shalt not commit adultery, it condemns adultery, fornication, and every other type of sexual perversion. It condemns any substitute for physical intimacy found exclusively in a faithful husband or wife situation. And so it's very broad in its approach. I think it even goes further to condemn the practice of easy divorce that we find in our society today. Let me just say this. Incompatibility is not a scriptural reason for divorce. Unhappiness is not a scriptural reason for divorce. Our society makes all of these frivolous reasons for divorce, but God hates divorce. And those two reasons, which we hear so often in our society today, I think the Lord in the seventh commandment condemns those in no uncertain terms. Other than death, the Bible only allows one reason for lawful divorce and remarriage, and that is fornication or moral impurity. And so I think that even in that case, there's such a thing as forgiveness. There's such a thing, if a person truly repents of their sin, that there is an obligation on the part of the other person to repent, you know, to accept their repentance and to forgive them of the sin that they've committed. Now, let me talk about repentance for just a second, because we're seeing some statements of repentance in the statements by the governor. Some of the things that he said, I felt very good about the way, you know, I read a little bit where the governor said, you know, I have done this, this was my fault, period, and that type of thing. However, some of the other statements that were made, I think, are less forthcoming. Let me put it that way. For instance, at one point during the news conference, he had talked about being under a tremendous amount of pressure because of the stimulus package and those types of things. This gets awful close to the idea of blame shifting. We find this very much in the counseling session, you know, that people say, well, I did what I did because the other person or somebody else did something to me. Listen, the first part of true repentance is a realization of sin. And you have to realize, I have done this. I have willfully and wickedly sinned against Almighty God. You know, ultimately, we're not sinning against society or our constituents. or our party or even our spouse, ultimately you are sinning against Almighty God. And that's why the psalmist said, against thee and thee only have I sinned. And so there must be a realization that this is truly sin. There's an old saying that says, don't mess up an apology with an excuse. And that's what we find so often in our society today. People say, well, I'm sorry, but I only did it because this was done, because of my environment, because of my social status, because of what was done to me in the past. Listen, nobody can make you sin. We all sin willfully and wickedly against the Almighty. So true repentance involves three aspects. First of all, it is a realization of sin. Secondly, there is a true regret for sin. You know, a lot of people are sorry not so much that they have sinned against Almighty God, but that they've been caught in sinning against Almighty God. And again, there's a little bit here with the whole events that took place yesterday. The whole idea that it's not like the governor came forward on his own accord. He came forward because there was a tremendous amount of pressure. The story was about to break. And there was all of this bizarre activity about nobody could find him. And then he was supposed to be on the Appalachian Trail. And then they catch him coming off of a plane from Buenos Aires. You know, I mean, it's not like he all of a sudden couldn't handle the burden of this and decided to break the news conference when nobody knew about it. So I think it's always a little bit suspect. And again, some of the subsequent statements that have been made afterwards, I just think that we got to see a real regret for the sin itself. I didn't see this either in some of the statements that were made by John and Kate. You know, I'm looking for... You hear them say, well, I've changed as a person, John says, or I'm now learning to stand up for myself and not to be so passive. Those aren't the types of statements that we're looking for when a person regrets the sin that they have committed. And here's the final thing. Not only is there a realization of sin and a regret for sin, but there must be a repudiation of sin as well. In other words, you need to take steps so that you never commit that sin again. You have to put blockers in the way. You have to do something. And in both of these cases, now the governor is saying that he's going to say, I can understand that from a political standpoint. I understand his political enemies are waiting for him to step down so that they could step in his place. I get that. But in the John and Kate situation, there's very little talk about doing away with the TV series. You know, I can only imagine now that we'd have to sit through John getting the kids one weekend and Kate having them the rest of the time, and then John going on his first date or Kate the first date after John. I mean, this is not the way that believers should be articulating grace. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we saw them handle this in a biblical manner and they gave a pattern of grace and how to apply the gospel to real life situations? Listen, people sin and marriages break up, but wouldn't it be what a testimony for the kingdom of God if they were to truly repent of their sin, and then by applying grace to the situation, we could watch this wonderful grace unfold before us in living color on our television set. This would really do something for the kingdom of God. You know, in thinking about this, let me just close with this here today. There's a warning here when we think about these things. First of all, consider ourselves. It's easy to sit back and judge, and that's why I didn't go in specifically to the situation today. Consider ourselves lest we fall. When we hear something like this, it should be a warning. The scripture says, 1 Corinthians 10:12, let anyone who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. We have the potential for this, each and every one of us, within our own hearts. We're not immune from this. So be wary of what is taking place. And secondly, note the carnage that sin leaves in its wake. You know, sin never delivers what it promises. It says you will be fulfilled, you will be happy. You know, this will be the best time in your life, but look at the carnage that it leaves. Consider the broken hearts and the broken lives surrounding just this one case with the governor. And you can begin to see some of the hurt and the despair that takes place over something like this in our life. And then third, be warned, but be watchful. Be watchful. Be careful. The scripture says that we must live pure lives and we must fill our minds with Christ and the gospel. Philippians 4:8 says this, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things." Turn our eyes towards the Lord Jesus Christ and think about the gospel. Think through these issues biblically. Remember, the Lord Jesus Christ said this, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Well, I hope today that we've learned a lesson, a scriptural lesson, from what has taken place in the news. Look forward to speaking with you again next week. Nancy Guthrie will be with me talking about suffering in the Lord Jesus Christ, and then Elise Fitzpatrick after that. We'll see you again next week right here on Knowing the Truth.
You've been listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Travelers Rest. For more information about the church and radio ministry, visit us on the web at knowingthetruth.org.
The opinions expressed on today's program are those of the announcers, their guests, and callers, and do not necessarily represent those of the staff and management of His Radio Network, the Radio Training Network, or Clear Channel Communications.
Life-changing teaching and talk for the Carolinas and Georgia. Christian Talk 660. WLFJ, Greenville, Spartanburg, Anderson.